So from the very beginnings of our species, these two forces and their energies were revered. So revered that our ancestors in all cultures personified them into deities who guarded and presided over our world, with the cyclical energy of the moon leading lunar deities to be cast as goddesses, while the always-on energy of the sun led solar deities to be seen as gods. With that in mind, can you truly imagine a time when humans with nature-based belief systems worshipped the moon and not also the sun, the earth, but not also the skies? To me, that seems just as imbalanced as the opposite perspective, the place we find ourselves now. For millennia, they have called us mad, disturbed, and even dangerous. But you know now that what they feared most was our divine feminine power. The power to rebalance our world in ways they tried to make us forget, to denounce, to ridicule, even within and amongst ourselves. Hi, and welcome to Ramblings of a Madwoman. My name is Zoe, and I'm a shamanic artist and sacred expression alchemist, uncovering and deep diving into our personal and collective soul embodiment is what I absolutely live for. Join me here in these conversations as we unravel the lunacy of our times and bring our wildest, full-feeling and multi-dimensional selves back online. Hello, gorgeous souls. It has been a little while since my last podcast. I have been very much in the hibernatory winter, bear-like cave, processing all of the things, honestly. This year has been, when I say this year, I mean the beginning of this year, has been really different for me energetically to previous years. It has felt like a really new beginning, and one that I could not, even if I wanted to, I just could not do any other way. So I've talked to a few friends about this, and honestly, yeah, I'm just beginning to come out of that hibernation period now. The creativity downloads are spiraling in like wildfire. And I'm really loving just coming naturally, organically, fluidly into this Ostara new birth energy. The new year, our natural new year, it feels so right in every part of me. And I want to celebrate this gorgeous energy and honouring of who we are as women with our rhythms by celebrating the unbound woman. And what I mean by that is all of the most incredible women that I have had the fortune to meet, both online and offline, to read their books, their posts, listen to their podcasts, follow their creativity wherever they share it. These are the women that inspire me pretty much every day to keep becoming more and more unbound, more and more deprogrammed from the woman, the idea of what a woman has been for centuries, if not millennia, in our society, and actually reclaiming, re-honoring what it means to be a woman, redefining that for ourselves and for the society around us, because it is so, so needed right now. So for the next month or so, I'm going to be bringing you these celebrations in terms of sharing some of the work that these other Unbound women are creating, have created, and letting you just see a little glimpse into what they're making and why they're making it and what their soul message is, and hoping that it just spreads a little bit of this fluid, organic, rhythmic, beautiful energy that we are so desperately in need of at this time in particular, this time of new beginnings, of the world really, really shifting on its axis, and this deep remembering beginning to take place within all of us. So without further ado, please enjoy this week's episode of the Celebration of Unbound Women on my Ramblings of a Mad Woman podcast. I would love to hear your reflections, your thoughts, your feelings on what it means to be an Unbound Woman and what inspiration you've taken from this episode. Thanks so much. So this week I am reading from the gorgeous book, The Divine Feminist by Keren Rowntree. Keren is a storyteller, soul integration specialist, primal witch and medium, and she has written her own books as well as collaborating on some other Unbound Press books with a group of gorgeous Unbound women. But today I'm going to be reading specifically from her book, The Divine Feminist. And this excerpt is from the chapter Lunar Solar Balance. In a book called The Divine Feminist, it seems only right that we start by talking about the first casualty of patriarchy, the divine feminine. That story has been covered many times by many different people, including by some of my favourites included at the back of this book. So it isn't something I want to repeat in full. But for those who haven't read it elsewhere, let me give you an overview of the tale I'm referring to. Those books will tell you that once upon a time, the world worshipped a goddess, the goddess, in fact, the Great Mother, who was revered above all else. In many ways, that's no surprise. The goddess was aligned with those people who grow and birth life and whose natural cycles personified everything our ancient ancestors lived by. What could be more powerful or sacred? Then patriarchy arrived, a force that decided the natural order of things wasn't quite as it should be, and that a few changes here and there would create opportunity for much greater power and expansion. But why would anyone listen to them when those things meant going against not only the natural order of the world, but also the goddess they held most sacred? So they began spreading new stories of a god or gods more powerful than the goddess, who exemplified the action-driven, focused, dominant energy which was always striving to grow and win. The spread of those stories and the belief systems they represented didn't happen in isolation. Unsurprisingly, they coincided with the empire building and colonization that modelled those same behaviours and slowly but surely began to take over the world. Given where we find ourselves today, I don't need to go into the damage that way of life caused, the abuse and disrespect of the earth and its people, the displacement of so many from the lands they called home and held sacred, the dismissal of individual cultures and belief systems. So much of the world was and continues to be colonized by a force that physically disconnects us from our nature, our ancestors, and everything except those intellectual, and physical powers it believed would allow humans to gain more and more power and control. We know that story of power and control wasn't strictly true, that the forces behind those changes have been acting in the interests of an increasingly smaller group of humans who considered themselves worthy of those things, specifically white, able-bodied, sane, heteronormative, cisgender, well-educated, well-spoken, upper-class, financially secure men. Meanwhile, the rest of us have been segregated off, labelled and placed into boxes that entitled those in power to decide how worthy or otherwise we were, and leaving many of us as desecrated, abused and forgotten as the goddess herself. It's a pretty simple story on paper, one with a good old villain to boo and hiss and a heroine in the form of the goddess who we can all cheer on to victory in her rightful place of global domination, right? Except that's something I disagree with, and one I think our ancestors would disagree with too, because as I see it, nothing begins with the goddess alone. A time of sacred balance. For as long as there has been a planet Earth, there has been the constant outward-facing light of the sun ruling the daytime and the ever-changing inward-facing energy of the moon presiding overnight. So from the very beginnings of our species, these two forces and their energies were revered. So revered that our ancestors in all cultures personified them into deities who guarded and presided over our world, with the cyclical energy of the moon leading lunar deities to be cast as goddesses, while the always-on energy of the sun led solar deities to be seen as gods. With that in mind, can you truly imagine a time when humans with nature-based belief systems worshipped the moon and not also the sun, the earth, but not also the skies? To me, that seems just as imbalanced as the opposite perspective, the place we find ourselves now. Feminists are often accused of being man-hating, and although there are plenty of men who have scared, hurt, and upset me over the years, I know too many good ones to ever hate men in general or want them to be forced into submission in the way others in the privileged system have been previously. And while I would be intrigued to see a society based wholly in favour of the matriarchy, I don't see how that would be any closer to the sacred balance I so clearly see and feel us having once called home. So although I can't speak for anyone else out there, when I advocate for the return of the divine feminine, it's not with the intention of those lunar energies overruling the solar completely. It's with the aim of sighting them firmly beside one another and recognizing both as important for our earth and for ourselves. To do that means recognizing that equity and natural balance within and around ourselves too. Breaking down the dualities that have been used to decide our worthiness and coming back to a place of reconnection with ourselves and everything each of us truly is, and with the glorious flowing ecosystem of this planet we get to call home. The feminine's lunar roots. I align lunar energy with what we know to be feminine, but unsurprisingly, the truth of that energy is also a long way from what that word has come to mean and from the feminine gender construct so many of us have grown up with. This energy is big, it is powerful, and for those who come up against it, lunar energy can be downright scary. Which maybe explains a lot about why patriarchy tried so damn hard to diminish and control it. But as with so many of the boxes that patriarchy has built for us, these definitions miss out on so much of what this energy truly is. Consider for starters the way we've been told that feminine and power do not and cannot go together unless we're talking about Beyoncé. Yet true feminine energy is powerful as hell. It is the energy of the dark and of the earth, not only capable of conceiving, gestating and tending even the most delicate of new life with true care and tenderness, but also defending those lives with sheer ferocity. This lunar-focused energy is as seductive as the rhythm of waves against the shore and the light of the full moon as it shines upon us. Maybe this, more than anything, is what was once considered to be so terrifying to those in pursuit of power. The fact that in contrast to the physicality and rationality of the sun, the power of the moon lies in the emotions that welcome us in and have a tendency to bring us over to their way of thinking. It is the energy of water, flowing with the natural rhythms that gives time for that deep inner work, as well as for stepping out to stand up for what they believe in. It recognises the connection of those cycles, a connection with humanity and with all of nature that brings joy and soul-bursting love, while also linking into the grief and pain that can be felt through those connections. Emotions that at times become too raw and too heavy to hold and erupt from us with the force of wildness. I'm a self-proclaimed geek and vividly remember unashamedly sobbing in the cinema when I watched both 2018's Wonder Woman and 2019's Captain Marvel movies. Why? Because I was so moved by their depiction of a power that was different to what society had taught me. I was moved when Gal Gadot's Diana leapt high into the air and landed on the ground with a wobble of her thigh, with the recognition that there could be softness in strength. And I was moved when Brie Larson's Carol Danvers realised that the way to tap into her full power wasn't through bypassing her human emotion, but by embracing it and allowing it to fuel her into action. The lunar energy can be found in so many of the deities and archetypes that are worshipped and recognised throughout the world. But more than that, this energy can be found within each of us and the world that we belong to. Our challenge and the invitation of this book is to find a way back to that power and all it represents in a world that has worked so hard to diminish and other it. So that was a beautiful excerpt from The Divine Feminist by the lovely Karen. And you can find her book in Kindle and paperback versions on Amazon. And you can find Karen herself at KerenRowntree.com. That's KerenRowntree. I will put the links in the show notes. And you can also find her on Instagram at Karen Rowntree and at divine.feminist for the Divine Feminist account. In true unbound fashion, I am pursuing my big vision for the creation of an immersive art installation, a room size art installation through my energy landscape art. And I'm calling in some financial support for this at the moment, so that I can begin to play around with the techniques and the materials that I want to try and create this with. So what I'm putting out at the moment is basically a pay what you want style studio sale. So everything on my website, all my paintings, maybe you've had your heart set on one, you've seen my work, but the prices at the moment are just out of your range. I want you to ignore the prices on my website currently and feel into, see if you're pulled towards a particular piece and then make me a beautiful offer. Just sit with it in your heart. What would feel good for you? What would feel really magical? And then reach out to me, email me, DM me, whatever. And just make me a beautiful offer, because my heart, my soul is really set on doing this next big vision, making it into a reality. And this at the moment is the only way I know how. So I would love your support. I would love for you to obviously own and celebrate my work in your own sacred space. Go and have a look at my website now at zoekmfoster.com. Have a look through all the paintings that are on there. And if a painting for whatever reason isn't quite in your remit right now, I've also got my books on there, my beautiful, immersive, my Written in the Stars book, filled with art, poetry and energy transmutations. I've got some paperbacks in stock that I can send out to you today. And then obviously our collaborative books, Wake Up Mother and the Shakti Farts and Belly Laughs books, both just beautiful, unbound additions to your book collection. And then I have some other bits and bobs like energy art love cards. So everything on there is available just to help me reach this big vision over the next few months. I'd be so, so grateful. And if you feel called to share this, that would be amazing too. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you love this episode, please share on social media and tag me at Zoe K. M. Foster and consider leaving a review on your podcast platform. For more shamanic artistry and sacred expression alchemy, head over to zoekmfoster.com and remember, stay wild and true.